Hello. You've made it through another week. It's Friday, October 5th, and you're here for the last episode of the news, and it's like 90% security and 10% nonsense, and then like...
Two robots.
Now,
if you're just joining us, if you're one of those people who only shows up for the nonsense day, of course you'll notice that Wendell is not here. Wendell, there was some... a little bit of a scandal here at the Level 1 office. There have been some accusations that 30 years ago, Wendell might have made some unsolicited sexual advances toward a dial-up modem. So...
he was about what?
While that's being investigated, he won't be on the Level 1 News. I'm sorry. So, we're going to clear that up as quickly as possible.
He'd been like, what, 5 years old? It was a weird time.
He'd been like 9.
I don't know. I realize I don't know how old Wendell is exactly.
Well, we're not going to...
We
won't dime him out.
Yeah.
Do you get the correlation there?
I do get the correlation, okay. But I was thinking about how funny that would be.
Why are you going to step on my joke?
I was thinking about the logistics of the joke and how funny... it's funnier because he would have been very little.
Well, let's talk about Google. And Google doing things that they probably shouldn't, but that we all know they do.
Google data collection research. I don't remember what this story was about.
Okay, well, this was about...
I instantly forgot.
This is
we
not
just talked about it.
This is not a shock, but it turns out that
Google
on the Android platform is constantly looking at your location. And you're saying, no. I turn off location, right?
But it doesn't.
I'm hardcore. I know about those tricks. I'm not a normie. Well, it turns out that's not what's happening. If you have the Chrome browser open... it will call home with your location data, among other things, about 340 times a day.
It's insane. It has to be draining your battery too, right?
Oh my God.
Just like...
they did the same experiment on an Apple device. Doesn't happen.
Really?
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
So yeah, unfortunate that Google is doing that to us. And now we have a huge... swath of ZDNet stories.
Yeah, they're all pushing the same video with that lady in it.
Yeah.
And she looks very upset about something, but I don't know what she's talking about.
She's got some serious opinions. I don't know what they are, and guess what? I don't care. But I do care about this.
Google is secretly logging users into Chrome whenever they log into a Google site. Now you're thinking, again, I don't have a Google Chrome account. What suckers do that?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Well, it's just your regular Google account, but anything else. But
why
would you
into Chrome?
Why would you log into the browser? Right?
Who does that?
The only thing that grants you is Google's ability to track you. Well, it turns out if you log into Google Play,
Gmail,
or whatever, any
Google
of the Google
documents,
services, you will be logged into Chrome.
Analytics.
And you will stay logged in, and they will track you.
You ever use Google Analytics?
Yeah.
It's terrible. Terrible. Wow. It's my least favorite part of their suite of products.
Well, how do you feel about AMP?
Never used AMP.
Oh, you're going to.
Analytics, terrible. Worst UI I've ever used.
And continuing on the bad security news for Android.
Password managers can be tricked into believing that malicious Android apps are legitimate. Say you have a malicious app called like Facebook, even though it's obviously not Facebook. So, you know, you go to do your password and stuff, it automatically fills it in, and then it gets your password when you submit it.
And that name string seems to be the only thing that a lot of these password managers are looking at. They're like, oh, we know an app called Facebook.
And this must be it, right?
We can send it a password. So you create your own app, you spoof the Facebook name, you build a login that looks exactly like Facebook's login, and that password manager will happily fill it in for the user, and when they press submit, they're actually giving you their login.
That has to be like a... how often do people install those sort of apps, though, you think?
Facebook users?
Like the... Never mind. I'll say, who installs a fake Facebook app? But, okay. Point taken.
You know who I bet install a lot of Facebook apps? Wendy's employees.
Not the strongest segue you've come up with. Wendy's faces lawsuit for unlawfully collecting employee fingerprints. This is illegal in Chicago, correct?
It is illegal in Chicago. So what Chicago has learned is that these biometric readers are almost always third-party companies. I don't know in this case if that's true, but it probably is. I mean, is Wendy's really doing their own?
I don't think anyone, because I used to work at a grocery store. That's how you clocked in. You put your fingerprint.
Was it third party?
I think so. There's no way that this grocery store was doing that themselves.
So what happened last time, it wasn't Wendy's, it was another company. The biometric company went out of business. And when you go into bankruptcy, you have to sell everything of value to try to get the creditors their money back. And guess what? Thumbprints have value. Someone wants to buy that. So now you've just sold all of your Wendy's employees thumbprints.
What's interesting about ours, like, I wonder if it just logged in just with the thumbprint, because we had to put in a username and password too.
I think it was, because it wasn't just clocking in and out, but they had the registers and stuff locked.
Oh.
So you had to identify yourself before you did transactions.
Oh, okay. Ours was all just username, password, but then you had the fingerprint on top of it. I'm not sure why it was double that way, but...
Well, that makes sense if you're doing that once a day, but if you're running around, you know, and you got to take an order real quick, I can't see them...
Bothering doing both.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Well, mobile websites, of course, we talked about Android and Chrome and all that horrible stuff, but this is a... I don't know if you would call this a security breach. I mean, it is, but I think it's by design.
Yeah, I think so too.
Mobile websites actually have a lot more permissions than you think, and a lot more than apps.
They can tap into your sensors. So they can tell if they're near something, if the phone is being tilted, number of other items. Like, wasn't it a photo? Like
photo sensor. They can tell light and darkness. They can tell movement. Mm-hmm. And it's been proven.
It's based on movement.
Yeah, it's been proven that you have a unique, like, when you're typing in your password, your phone rocks back and forth at a certain cadence.
Oh, and it knows.
And they can work that out. And it's difficult to do, but the more people, the more data they have, the easier it gets.
Figure it out.
So if they're just constantly, you know, think about Google was just constantly phishing that data off the website. They have a real good set of data, and they feed that to one of those discriminator AIs.
It'd totally work.
And they know your password.
The sensor thing on the mobile websites, I'm not too surprised by that, having seen some different mobile websites that, like, you know, it's like a game sort of thing where you can tilt your phone around. But I could see maybe in the future, if people get upset about this, maybe having the same sort of look, like, pop-up that's like, we use, you know, your phone sensor to do this.
I wonder if the, the existing GDPR and the US GDPR, do you think they'll actually consider this kind of thing? Because it's such a weird edge case.
It might be less of one, though, as phones get more powerful and more people start building websites for mobile.
Well, mobile is already...
Yeah, it's huge.
...breaking into the majority, so... I don't know. Do you think there's any website that has it built in where it's like, if sitting in total darkness, run ads that target loneliness?
I bet there are already websites that determine whether or not to show light or dark mode based on...
That would be useful.
...the level of... Yeah, that'd be nice. Would be really nice. There's some that do it based on time, but it'd be cool if it did it based on the light and your location.
Yeah. Of course, the phone itself can do some of that. Well, we don't want to leave out those Apple users, right? I mean, we're talking about Android mostly, but you can't leave out Apple users. They must be included.
Apple's device enrollment program can leak sensitive information about devices and their owners. I don't remember the specifics of how this works exactly.
So the enrollment program is a way to simplify onboarding new Apple devices onto, usually bigger customers do this kind of thing. So it's like, hey, we got a new hire, we need to get their iPad up and running. This is a simplified way of doing that.
Oh, don't they just do it? They just do it with the serial number.
Just do it with the serial number. So if you can get somebody's serial number, these researchers figured out, you can hit an API in an unexpected way and get information back about that device and its owner. But more importantly, once you are that far along, you can sign a new device up on that network. And sometimes they have things like Wi-Fi and VPNs that automatically set up just when you are onboarded onto the network. So now you're in on their network, on the Wi-Fi.
Seems like that would be a lot of steps and a lot of weird edge cases, but maybe not.
Well, if it's a big corporation, you know, the corporate espionage, you're willing to go way further than that to get some sweet passwords, get in on that network, snoop around. And what if it's a high-ranking person whose serial number that you get a hold of? Could be
important,
amazing
important
stuff.
Important phone calls that you need to be a part of.
But what about the plebs? What about if you're like, listen, I don't bother with any of that stuff. I'm just a normal Instagram thought. I use my phone for that kind of thing. Well, guess what? You're in trouble as well.
The iPhone XS passcode bypass hack exposes contacts and photos. This is kind of weird. It seems like it's pretty clearly a bug, but like you can use Siri at the passcode thing. If you change a contact person's photo, yeah, right, you're able to see all the other photos on the phone. Well, I assume because you're selecting a new one.
Right. You use Siri to get to a contact edit. That's the bug. And when you're on the contact edit, you can change the image, which brings up the image browser, which allows you to browse all the images.
Seems, again, it's one of those things like probably not a huge deal, but I guess if you've got, I don't know, your...
What if, listen, you've got like 3 weeks worth of Instagram posts. You're an influencer. And the world should not be able to see those legging shots until you're ready, right? These are pre-processing. You have to do post on these things.
They all have to be Photoshopped.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you went a little hard in September at the buffet. And you're going to have to shape some things down a little bit. And it could ruin your image completely if those got out.
You could lose your deal with the gym.
Could be huge.
I was just going to say I would be embarrassed by how many pictures I have of my dog on my phone.
You know what? I was in your office the other day for a conference call. And I was a little bit shocked and a little bit scandalized to see that your dog is not your desktop background. In fact, it's a cat.
It's my boyfriend's cat.
Not anymore.
Well, yeah. It's his roommate's cat.
So a cat that's not even in your life anymore takes priority over your precious dog.
Listen, I don't have a good picture to put on the... Well, I do, but I haven't selected one. I had a picture of Rue on the bed, but like when I got that new monitor, when I tried to blow that image up, it just looked terrible, so I switched it back to the picture of Rob Thomas, the cat. Rob Thomas is a good cat. He's a good boy. Him and Rue would be best friends.
You think?
Probably not.
No.
On Rue's end, yes. On the cat's end, probably not.
Well, this story, you know, this is something that whoever wrote this, Cyrus Farivar.
What a name.
And he wrote it at 4 a.m. Must be another time zone. He, you know, like he's a man after my own heart where he thinks of the darkest timeline and everything.
This one's not hard to think of a dark timeline for. So Apple's watch has an auto 911 feature. So, like, if it senses, you know, you fall down or something like that, and then if you don't move for, like, what is it, 3 minutes?
2 minutes.
2 minutes, then it's going to put in a 911 call. Yeah. But the dark timeline is, what if you're, like, just getting wasted in the comfort of your own home? You fall, and you're just like, oh, I'm not getting up for a minute. Calls 911, they break in and see all your illegal substances.
And that is, first of all, they can break in. They're doing a wellness check. Because of a 911 call, they can break in. And when they break in, whatever they see is fair game in terms of, you know, a search. This is also true, by the way, if you call the EMS or the fire department. They are trained to report to, like, they can't arrest you.
But they can tell someone else.
But they will report everything they see to the police as soon as they leave. So.
That was the first thing that came to our minds when we read this story. There's probably other, even darker storylines you could come up with in your own head. Leave your fan fiction in the comments below.
Yeah.
We're happy to read it.
Well, even if you're not doing anything illegal, it's just kind of creepy to think that.
Yeah, well, sometimes you just fall over and like just lay down.
I usually don't.
You've never just laid on your carpet after a long day of
work?
But
I think it does beep and like try to, it's like, hey.
Oh, it's trying to alert you.
So you would have to be out of it.
Okay. Because sometimes, you know, I just like to lay down on the floor after a while. You know?
Okay, well.
After a long, and I don't have anything bad in my house. It's just, but I mean, that would be awkward if I'm just laying there and all of a sudden the cops are like, are you okay, ma'am?
What if, you know, they kick down the door and here comes little Rue, excitement peeing, and they see that as aggression and they shoot her.
Aw.
Yeah.
Rue hasn't had an accident in months.
Oh, wow.
She's doing really good.
Incredible. Bring her in here. I'll get her to pee.
I was going to bring her today. I might bring her for the stream later.
Well, I didn't pre-read the story. That was a good conversation. I didn't prepare myself.
You didn't have a segue ready to go.
So this one, I got no segue for this one. This is about a Chinese hotel hacker who was really a security researcher. But it shows that when you are a security researcher, you still have to be careful.
Because, well, if you're not being paid for it. Security researcher fined for hacking a hotel Wi-Fi and putting passwords on the internet. This was in Singapore?
This was in Singapore. This was a Chinese guy. Man. It was a Tencent hotel, which means Tencent, that massive software company, they've also got hotels.
It's not even surprising to me anymore. Yeah. Everyone just branches out as soon as they have enough money.
Yeah, so he was like, wrote a security blog. He actually got into the Wi-Fi, and he used a open telnet port or something. And then he used that to get further in. He got into their whole system. He didn't do anything bad.
He just poked around.
Yeah, he didn't do any damage, but he did, in showing screenshots of what he did, expose some of the guests to the hotel's accounts and the hotel itself. So he got fined $5,000.
I thought it was $3,500.
Oh, you're right. 5,000 Singapore, whatever. $3,500 US.
Yeah. Which, not really important to the story so much, but we just want to stop corrections before they come.
I don't care anymore.
I don't.
I've lost it. They're so pedantic.
Well, yeah, some of the corrections are fine. Some of them are just little stuff like the.
It's like a 40-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
So it's signal to noise is so low that you can't keep track of the good ones. So whatever. I think people like it. It's like they're just screaming into the void. Just let them, you know.
Why just not? Let them do it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We've talked about some similar things to this. We talked about...
We might have done a not exact story like
well,
this.
Well, there was one about how they were going to try to use Wi-Fi to track everything about your health. You remember that one?
Yeah.
And then there was one where they were going to track your joints to see your movement.
Your skeleton. Spooky story for Halloween.
But this one's all about just counting people.
You can count people using Wi-Fi through walls. This seems like this would have limited use cases other than a party trick. But
what about... Disney. People waiting in line for the Haunted Mansion.
I guess, like, so you could display, like, there are 100 people in line. You should probably just leave park and go home.
Disney pays a lot of money to determine how many people are moving through the park and standing in line for various things at a given time.
Really?
Yeah, all that.
I've never been to, like, Disney World or Disneyland.
They want, immediate feedback on what's doing well and what needs to change, you know? I mean, imagine the level of analytics that Google has. Disney wants that for the park.
It's true.
When I went to Disney when I was a young man, a small child actually, they actually just had guys standing next to the door with those little hand clickers.
Oh, they had to
click, click, all day long. And they would like engage you and, you know, like be friendly. Probably just to break up the monotony of the clicking.
Like they actually probably were told never to speak to the guests, but it was like, please talk to me.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a utility they could be using it for. It seems.
But I could see a lot. Look, think about a waiting room at a dentist's office or something like that.
I mean, couldn't you just count? I guess then you don't have to count. But yeah. I mean, it's just.
Well, no, you can keep track over, like, not just, it's like, I wonder how many people are there, but all day long, you're hitting a database with number of waiting people. And so
maybe you need to know how many more nurses to hire.
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, you look at that data and you're like, you know what? We're overbooking by this percentage. It's useful. Huh. It's useful. People are going to make comments about how useful it is. Okay. And some of them are going to be terrifying.
It's true.
Well, we talked about Delta. Was it Delta Airlines?
It was Delta who was doing biometrics in Atlanta.
Biometrics. So they've made a huge advancement, but they've maybe taken a step back as well.
Delta computer glitches forced flight halts third year in a row. That's why you don't fly Delta, along with a host of other reasons.
Well, the fact that they're tracking your face
is not enough. Well, is it Delta too? Is it Delta that killed all those dogs?
I don't remember.
There's a different one. Maybe it was American.
Was it Delta where they beat the Asian man?
It's, you know, they're
that was United. I think that was United.
But United might be the one to kill the dogs too.
Yeah, but for 3 years in a row, Delta has had critical problems, and it's not anything wrong with the planes. It's not anything wrong with any other services, just software. Something goes bad, and they're like, I don't know, just ground the planes.
No. I will say, as a young girl, I got to go see the captain a couple times on flights, and they would give me
Wings?
I got the little gold wing pin as a kid, and I thought that was awesome.
Did you see there was one airline that got in trouble? Because the boys got the wings, and the girls got, like, flight attendant pins.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a little weird. No, I got wings as a kid.
Well, they recognized your potential.
Yeah. They were like, oh, yeah. She could be a pilot.
No.
I don't have that kind of level-headedness.
She won't even wear vision correction to drive. And
it's
bad.
I'm wearing vision correction
You don't
right
always
now.
Do it. You don't always do it.
Yes, I do.
It.
I have
Sometimes
to.
You're like, I can't see that font on the
screen. I always have contacts in.
Oh, that's just bad. You just have the wrong ones.
No, they're right. I get mine. Unlike this guy, I actually get my eyes checked out.
But
right
I
here.
Can see the screen and you can't.
Yes. Listen, I wear reading glasses when I'm programming at work. So I can see Notepad better.
We're old. We talked about the face scanning at Delta, and in the last episode, we talked about how revolutionary it was, but Homeland Security has released a report, and I don't know.
It's rife with technical problems, which, I mean, that's not surprising, though, right? I mean,
no.
If you're just looking at face, it seems...
Now, I think this system is a little different. Homeland Security system is different than Delta's system, but I imagine it's roughly the same technology.
Same technology, yeah.
But yeah, Homeland Security is supposed to have facial scanning to keep us protected.
Safe.
You know, it's like the terrorists can't get through. But they're saying that, nope. It's not supposed to be completely done until 2021, and they're already. Now think about this. They have until 2021, but now, at the end of 2018, they're like, hang on, guys.
This is not going to work.
Pump the brakes here. You're too ambitious.
Except they're saying... They're not saying pump the brakes. They're saying we need more funding is probably what they're saying.
They're saying hit the flaps. Throttle down.
Keep going.
Well, Subaru. We've switched to robots. And this is a story that points out when robots go wrong.
When robots go bad. Coding error since 2019 Subaru sent to the car crusher. This was one mistake, one welding mistake that a robot made on pretty much a whole line of cars.
This was the weld that welds the doors to the body.
Which seems like that would be kind of important.
So if you were to stress that, for example, hit it with another car, those doors might pop right off. So, yeah. This was not...
Like a GTA car.
This was not a problem with the robots themselves. This was just bad programming. If you're one of those people who is doom and gloom about, oh my God, the robots are going to take over and people are going to be useless, this should make you feel good, right?
Yeah, it's always going to be someone. So, or they'll say, we need better programs.
Just screw it up. Yeah. The Luddites will get in there, mess up the code, and
job
kill
security. That's a thing. Some programmers do that.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. They shouldn't do that.
Believe me, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, also good news in if you love AI. If you're the opposite, you love AI. You can't wait for the what's Kurzweil call it?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't believe I can't remember that.
If you hadn't tried to think of it, you would know.
It's the event when, you know, like humans and AI come together.
The singularity?
Yeah, that's
there
what
we
it
go.
Is.
This is if you're German, you know, they love efficiency and
they do.
And being on time. They just launched the world's first autonomous tram in Potsdam. Someone's going to be like, "Wow, Chris, I thought you had
Potsdam?
German heritage."
That sounds right. So this thing, it's I mean, the tram, that's a pretty simple thing to drive around, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just the throttle and brakes. But this also will monitor the tracks ahead with LiDAR and all that self-driving type of stuff. So,
well, and there's still a guy sitting in there in case something goes catastrophically wrong, but his job just got way easier.
And he likes it.
Yeah.
He applauded it. They did point out, like, the children are often playing on the tracks, and that's a common thing. And they showed in the software.
It's happening in Germany.
Oh, well. They showed in the software how it immediately, like, detected that and slowed down a little bit. But they were a long way away, so it didn't stop.
Oh.
But it was like, okay, I recognize those are children. And it took some action.
If they were adults, do you think it would speed up?
Gotta teach them a lesson. Well, that's, you know, maybe the evil German AI figures out it's more efficient to run over a certain number of people than stop. And it starts making those decisions.
That would be a good story.
Well, now it's time to move into nonsense. And our first story,
pretty nonsensical.
It's the relationship to technology is there in terms of social media. So don't tell me that it's not.
Monday psychology lecture begins with a bang. The professor had a porn video open and the students recorded it while it was going on. He apologized immediately and turned it off. But at that point,
Now, but here's the thing about it. He apologized, but I don't think he could have done anything but apologize because this is University of South Toronto.
Oh, yeah. He would apologize even if it just opened to the lecture.
He was incapable of not apologizing. But he did. This wasn't one of those things where he claimed that he was just doing research. Remember the guy that he tweeted a screenshot? And it was some horrific, like, pornography type thing. And he claimed, and his son, he was showing it to his son. And he claimed that he was just doing research and showing his son how dangerous the internet could be.
No.
Alex Jones got busted looking at porn recently, too. He owned it, I think. But this guy was like, yep, that's what I was doing. I'm sorry. Won't happen again. Which I think that's the way you have to handle that.
Yeah, right? I mean, I would be kind of grossed out and you bet your butt I would be gossiping about it later. But, like, I mean, it's not the end of the world. Not the end of the world.
Why does this...
What?
There's no...
There's no headline. It's because they're so the header there is position fixed, and it's,
but they have to have. Didn't we see it earlier?
There's probably a JavaScript thing. Hit F5, refresh that.
I don't have the keyboard.
Well, use the button.
Oh yeah, there was an ad. Oh no, it's blocking an ad.
Yeah.
So Extreme Tech. What are you doing, Extreme Tech? You built your page design as if the ad was always going to load, and when it doesn't load, you lose your headline. But we can read it up here in the title bar.
Well, wait, this is the one about they're only accepting DVD.
The Pentagon has a new program, a state-of-the-art program, but they're only going to accept submissions on DVD.
As one does, you know.
When
I applied for my job, I was like, listen, I could send you guys a portfolio and my resume, but I think that I am a shining beacon of personality and that I shine best on DVD or VHS cassette.
But think about how annoying it's going to be to have to order a DVD burner.
How annoying it's going to have to be for the people who are trying to fill positions and they have to watch a DVD.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be video.
Oh, I was thinking like actual.
No, video. No, it'll be data because this is a data project.
But still, why would you do that?
Exactly.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I heard DVD and just thought like, video cassette.
But yeah, that's just a ridiculous... Obviously, it's the government. They move so slowly. There's some kind of security thing, maybe, they don't want.
Well, there's a lot of places that'll be like, you know, you put in your application online where you submit all those fields, and then it's like, upload your resume. So you do that, and then it's like, fill out all this other stuff on top of that that would be in your resume.
The other part of this is it must be delivered by hand. You can't mail this in. Because it's like a real secure project.
That's just...
That makes sense.
Does it?
Yeah, because you know there's a face and a name, and they checked in at a security checkpoint. They probably took their thumbprint of somebody who brought software into the Pentagon. That makes sense.
Wow.
Well...
It's foolishness.
Some people curse their children with dumb names. And I don't know if they... They just don't care. They don't think about it.
Probably on drugs.
But this this guy, there was no escaping it. He just has a terrible name. And now Facebook's policies are blocking him from doing what he wants in life because of his unfortunate name.
Poor Mr. Anus, the council candidate given a bum deal by Facebook.
Bum deal?
Do you see what they did there?
Get it?
Do you see it? Because anus is a word for part of the butt.
That's another word for it. Luke Anus. That's this guy's name. And sounds kind of like a superhero name, doesn't it?
Luke Anus? Like if you say it all together is one word.
Well, no, like, you know, Luke Anus, Captain Anus.
No, like Luke Anus.
That sounds like a Mortal Kombat character.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke Anus.
He's OP right now.
So he wants to run for some political office, and he actually has a campaign, and he's had to change, like, Facebook will not let him in as Luke Anus. So he's changed all of his... campaigning stuff to Luke Anu. He's campaigning as Luke Anu.
We've run into this before on projects we've worked on where we'll get a list of banned words. And yeah. I mean, it'll just be ridiculous. Like they'll be like, this is clearly a fake name. It's like, no, that could be a real name though. I mean, yeah. Well,
the reason we had to implement that on the one project is someone signed up as Pussy Destroyer.
I remember that. It's so terrible. It said it on their profile and everything too. It was really funny. Nice. I mean, it's really childish and stupid, but it was kind of funny.
Well, they were high school children.
Yeah.
But still, even as a high schooler, because you did this for a grade, and somebody had the balls to sign up as that.
Probably just to, like, I mean, A, to make their friends laugh, or to, like, make the teacher angry.
You know what? I hate to admit it. It made me laugh a lot. And then I forwarded it to everybody in the office, and they also laughed.
Well, and then we got the list of band names, and then that went around the office a second time.
So good. And, you know, high school students, they can be funny. Yeah, they can be hilarious.
In a childish sort of way.
They can come up with some good things. Doting high school mothers, they can be some of the most unbearable people on the planet. And this is a perfect example of that.
This is an unbearable mama bear. Mother files federal lawsuit after son doesn't make varsity team. Is this really the end of the world?
I hope so. Because how can we go on from this? So this is a soccer team, St. Louis, I guess. And the rule is, when you hit junior year, you can't be in junior varsity anymore. You have to go out for the varsity team. Well, this young man wasn't very good, and he didn't make the team. And the rule is, hey, the younger players need a place to play, so you're not allowed to just go back into junior varsity after you suck at varsity. And this mom, she didn't like that.
I just don't understand, like, why not just join him into a city league instead of the high school team? Like, why does it matter?
Because he is a special little angel snowflake, and he deserves to be appreciated as such.
You could still play.
Now, the grounds of her lawsuit mention things such as the girls' team doesn't do it this way, so it's not fair.
And, do you think that kid's embarrassed?
Oh, my God. Do you think his forever he will be remembered as the kid whose mom sued because he sucked at soccer? She just, oh.
I wouldn't, like, I might be kind of annoyed that I couldn't at least play at least in some league in high school, but I wouldn't want my parents to get all up in arms about it and go to school. I begged my mom not to go to school for stuff. Like, I was like, no. Like, I'll deal with it.
Well, yeah, you want to deal with it yourself.
Yeah.
And I think you should be forced to deal with it yourself. Because that's
by
the
high
point.
School, yeah. Like, you're supposed to be learning life
skills.
You're
going to have to get some sort of personal accountability in life. But, you know, the modern younger generations, they don't like personal accountability.
Maybe he was fine with it. Maybe he was like, I'll get to play varsity.
If he wasn't at the time, I bet he's changed his tune now. He wishes this never happened.
Yeah, because he knows he's making fun of him.
It failed. They backed up the school and the coach, but it had to go to a federal lawsuit, which is just astonishing. Well, here's the question. And you know what? Here's another situation where I wish Wendell was here.
Oh, yeah. Because
I think
this would be interesting.
The two of us, we really don't care too much about our phones. Mm-hmm. I mean, a phone is convenient. Mostly, it's convenient when you're pooping.
Yeah. See, I was going to say when we go to lunch and we argue about some sort of pedantic thing, it's like, we have to look it up.
Is Betty White still alive? And you have to know? You just go right in there and Google it.
90% of the stuff on my smartphone is looking up crap like that.
Right. Or, you know, if you have to wait in some capacity. If you're getting your oil changed or, you know, you're in traffic, it's dead stop traffic or whatever.
You can't move, yeah.
You got something to do. But Wendell is on a whole other level with phone dependence. It's astonishing how often he will check
their
phone.
I meant to ask him recently, like, how many people is he following on Twitter? Because I don't follow that many people, so, like, my Twitter feed doesn't update very much.
Twitter is, like, his world.
Yeah, he loves Twitter.
It's amazing. But, so, the reason I mention that is because the question is, what would you give up in order to keep your phone? And some British Columbians have weighed in on this.
Yeah, I think scroll down so they can see the graphics here.
We gotta read the headline.
More than a quarter of British Columbians would give up a spouse for a smartphone.
So that's a quarter for a spouse, age 25 to 54. Next up, what's next? Heat.
A third. How crazy is that? A third of people.
And this is British Columbia. It gets cold.
Yeah, I just...
And finally, a day's wage, a fifth.
A day's wage is crazy to me.
That is crazy. Because how are you going to keep your phone running if you can't pay those data plans?
Or think about all the other goods. Like, goods and services. You could be on Amazon ordering things.
Well, you could do it on your phone.
Yeah, or you could do it on a PC. Like, doesn't matter.
Maybe they don't have one. They also,
that is true. A lot of people don't.
They also admitted a huge percentage of those people slept with their phone like either in their hand or next to them on the bed, so that in case of vibration, they'd wake up and they could immediately deal with
it. I mean, I usually keep mine on charge, but it's usually up on my dresser. Like, what? Yeah.
So, a disgusting display from the British Columbians. I hope they apologize after they answered those questions. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I have to be truthful. That's the other thing. You know, it's hard for them to lie because genetically they're Canadian.
Yeah.
And so it's probably, we got a lot of truth out of that study we wouldn't have gotten in other countries. It's good to see. The story baffles me. I don't quite understand.
The vitriol?
Why they are so angry. But it is interesting.
The Swiss soccer fans temporarily stop a soccer game to protest esports.
So they,
that's right.
They unfurled this big pause banner after throwing controllers and tennis balls onto the pitch in order to stop the match.
I don't understand this. Maybe they really hate, you know, XQC, the Seagull. I don't.
Well,
there's some players in the Overwatch
League. I'm assuming those are Overwatch players.
Yeah.
It seems like the big one that they're protesting is FIFA. And the,
I didn't even realize they had an online.
My best understanding is that FIFA might be pulling interest away from actual soccer.
Which, that seems crazy to me. I feel like you'd want to watch real soccer instead of FIFA, but maybe not.
Yeah.
I guess you can play FIFA. I mean, you can play soccer yourself too, but not at the level someone is playing in like an actual league.
And not around the clock at your convenience.
Yeah, FIFA though, like you actually stand a chance of gaining the skills to play.
And it's a lot. It's true that there are a small percentage of people genetically, no matter how hard you work, you are never going to get to a certain level with soccer.
I thought you were going to say in Overwatch because I haven't made it to Diamond yet.
No, you could. You waste your time on useless things when you should be playing Overwatch. But I'm saying it's much more likely that with just constant playing, you're going to get further in FIFA than you would in real soccer.
Yeah, physically you're just going to reach a point where
exactly.
You can't.
Yeah. Or maybe you're like a 5'2", you know?
Yeah.
And it's just not going to happen for you. Your little stumpy legs are never going to carry you to fame. Whereas they might.
Not in soccer.
They might in FIFA. I mean, just kick them up on the couch, eat pizza rolls while you play 24 hours a day.
FIFA is very popular internationally. I have a friend who lives in Africa, and she says that like all of the like cafes and stuff, that's where everyone's playing FIFA.
Madden is big here.
Yeah. I don't understand like the playing real sports in an esport. Or in an online.
Well, remember the guy that he lost at Madden and came back and shot the place up?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, literally crazy.
Literally insane.
You're right. That's exactly what that is. Well, you know what else is crazy? Robot lawnmowers and their reign of terror.
Scroll down so they can get the full effect of the photo. Robot lawnmowers are killing hedgehogs.
Look at this guy.
Look how cute they are.
Oh, my God. They are adorable.
They are. They're not native to the U.S.
We don't have them at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you get them as a pet, but...
Yeah, they're like an exotic pet. Apparently, these are being run over by robots.
I was surprised to find out that in Europe, robot lawnmowers are totally normal. Everybody has them.
Yeah. I was more surprised that people were that upset about the hedgehogs.
I wonder, though...
I mean, not to say that they're not adorable and that they deserve... They do deserve to live, but, like, people run over rabbits here all the time.
I don't think that rabbits are quite as common as hedgehogs in terms of people's yards. But I also wonder if the smaller landmass and the higher population density mean everybody has a fairly small yard.
Probably.
Because I think these electric mowers would have trouble with like 2 acres.
It's like a Roomba trying to do 2 acres.
But yeah, they are complaining because the robot lawnmowers are not very advanced in terms... Like they can see a human-sized thing and stop. But a hedgehog, they don't care. Now, the sad part is they usually don't kill it outright. They'll take off a leg or, you know, scalp it or, you know, take off its back or something like that. Something that's it's probably going to die from an infection.
Yeah.
Some horrible, horrible hedgehog death. So they're looking at different ways of dealing with it. They're working on what they call the mustache, which is like a like broom fibers on the front of the thing that like push the hedgehogs out of the way.
Oh my gosh. Before. How cute would that be? Maybe a bunch of gold rings pop out.
They're also talking about changing, like instead of one big blade, it's like a lot of multiple smaller blades that spin in their own on a big blade. And somehow that's less dangerous for the hedgehog. I don't really understand how.
I have a relevant story about a lawnmower. When I was at my aunt's wedding, one of the younger kids, he recently fell off a lawnmower and messed up his arm pretty good. He's doing fine now. But while we're in the middle of rehearsal dinner, or, you know, the actual rehearsal, we're standing up there and the preacher's saying, you know, here's how everything's going to work. This little boy yells out, "I got hit by a lawnmower." Like, just screams it out to the crowd. And there's just long, awkward silence because no one knows what to say. And he goes, "I really did, though." And it was really so awkward. Like,
but that was not an electric lawnmower. That was a big-ass, zero-turn, 72-inch deck American lawnmower.
Yeah.
Because we do it
right.
He was
okay, thankfully, but it was brutal.
Well, he's probably, I mean, he would have been better having not been hit by the lawnmower.
Yeah. I mean, they fixed him.
He might not be a quarterback ever because of that.
Yeah.
He might get kicked off the junior varsity.
Then he has to be sued. It's like a whole thing. It's so funny how he's just bounced back from it, though. I got hit by a lawnmower. Yeah. He'll just like casually mention it.
You know, youth, you're good at it. It's kind of weird.
He's like 2 or 3 years old.
When you're a tiny, tiny baby, anything will kill you. And then you hit a tipping point where it's just like, they'll bounce back from that.
Yeah. Fine. And he really has. It's crazy. But it was just funny him yelling it out.
But he's got a great story. You know how when you go to, like you're in college, and they do that stupid thing where it's like, let's all stand up and say something about ourselves.
He's got that out.
He's got that nailed every single time.
When I was 2 years old, I got hit by a lawnmower.
He's got a great story.
Had to wear a cast. We had to do his little like white shirt. They had to like rip it.
Oh, and because it's the smartphone age, I bet he's got like a million pictures of it too, right?
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah. I took some pictures of him yesterday. He was cute. He had a little yellow bow tie on.
Well, pictures are what our last story is about. Not just pictures, but memes.
Best meme.
We know the power of memes. And in fact, they're so powerful that in Sweden, they've ruled that this one is far too powerful.
Now, if you're Swedish, you may want to, you know, look away. The distracted boyfriend meme is sexist, rules Swedish ad watchdog. I always thought this meme was funny. There's also a female version using a reverse version of this stock photo.
Yeah, I've seen that one as well.
And I always, like, they're just funny.
It is very funny. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously over the top. It's meant to convey something.
As stock photos usually are.
Right.
Like, they're ridiculous.
And I think the idea of sexism, like you say, this doesn't have to be men and women.
Yeah.
In this role. Well, it could be three guys.
There was a version that had the woman looking back at a guy walking
exactly,
past.
Yeah. So I don't agree with sexism here. I mean, it's funny. It was used in an even funnier way. You know, they put other things on their faces.
Yeah.
And you've got a group of people who are looking to be offended by something.
My favorite version of this is the girl in the light blue holding the boyfriend's hand. It's marked Faramir. And then the boy is Denethor. And then the girl walking in the other direction is Death. It's a darker version of it, but I appreciate it.
Gosh, that's hilarious.
It made me laugh. If you're a Lord of the Rings fan.
But yeah, they've ruled that this cannot be used in advertisement because advertisement is not allowed to be sexist. They say that Sweden is really high ranking when it comes to, you know, like gender equality and all that. But when it comes to advertising, they're very bad about using sexist advertising.
I could see that.
Are you at all offended? If you go down, if you see a billboard and it's an ad based on this, does your mind go to sexism at all?
See, my thought is that the meme economy of this just went down because it's being used in advertisements now. It's like, ooh, not cool anymore.
Now
time to move on. Time to invest in moth and lamp memes.
I can think of at least two separate occasions where I believe that you have actually been discriminated against, not by this workplace.
No.
But with people we work with.
Yeah, clients.
And those situations are wildly different than this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very obvious when that's going down. And
I mean, advertisements are one thing. It's more frustrating when it's like that systematic, you know, no one's ever had to call these people on that kind of crap before.
When I was in college, I had a militant feminist chair of the department. And, oh my God, I hate her. And I had to take an ethics course under her. And so she gave us an example, and there was an advertisement, and it was like, we offer every level of support. And it was like, you know, temporary support, and it was clearly a hooker, and mid-range support, which was like, you know, a girl in like a, you know, a nice dress, like you might go out on a date with, and long-term support, and it was a woman in a wedding dress. And she was like, list one word that you feel this advertisement, you know, what it represents to you. And mine was effective.
Effective. And like,
the anger in her eyes when I said that. So it was like Satan was just channeling through
her. I mean, it's a garbage advertisement, but...
But it got the point across.
It got the point across.
Yeah, it was clever, it was memorable, and you understood what they were trying to sell you based on that. But it would have been just as funny if it was dudes like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you would... I can think of, like, a gay prostitute, you know? How that dress would be.
Maybe it's the neck beard. You know, the long-term boyfriend and then the husband. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a way to do that.
We'd have to think
though.
About it, but you could do it, yeah.
Probably not as effective as the one, which... I'm not saying it's probably not sexist, but it's not... I wouldn't say it's offensively so. I wouldn't be really offended by that.
Well, that's the end. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week. Wendell should be rejoining us after he's taken care of the problems that we talked about.
All three different scenarios that
I was the same one every time. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, we'll see you then.